With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. More homebuyers are looking to ex-urban areas just beyond the suburbs.
There's no question in my mind that when we see building in these places, these are the places of last resort. These are not the first places you choose to build. And so if we see builders going to these places, we know we're getting late in the housing cycle. We know they've already built up better locations and are looking for new places, new frontiers.
We'll have more with Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cusisto. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. Transportation officials are defending the government's response to two fatal crashes of Boeing's 737 MAX aircraft amid questions over its certification process and its automated stabilizer program, known as MCAS. Here's Mike Sinnott, Boeing's Vice President of Strategy and Development.
The 737 is a safe airplane. The 737 family is a safe airplane family. And the 737 MAX builds on that tremendous history of safety that we've seen for the last almost 50 years.
And during testimony before a Senate panel, Daniel Elwell, the acting administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration, defended his agency's decision to certify the aircraft for flight and the time it took the agency to ground the 737 MAX.
We may have been, I think someone said, the last country to ground the aircraft. But the United States and Canada were the first countries to ground the aircraft with data for cause and purpose. And that's important because when you ground a fleet of aircraft for a reason, a definable reason, then you have something by which to unground them when you've mitigated that or you've solved it.
The 737 MAX was involved in two fatal crashes, one in Indonesia in October and another in Ethiopia earlier this month. British lawmakers failed to win majority support for alternative Brexit plans on Wednesday after Prime Minister Theresa May vowed to quit if her plan is approved. Lawmakers have rejected May's Brexit deal twice, but she's hoping to put it to a third vote later this week. For the latest on Brexit, head to our website, WSJ.com or the WSJ app. A California man has been awarded more than $80 million in damages after a San Francisco jury found he contracted cancer from exposure to Bayer's Roundup weed killers. The jury found Monsanto, now owned by Bayer, acted negligently in failing to warn about Roundup's danger. It's the second trial loss for Bayer over its weed killers. The company is facing over 11,000 lawsuits over Roundup. The company says the product and its active ingredient, glyphosate, are safe and has vowed to defend itself. Ride-hailing app Lyft prices shares Thursday ahead of its public debut on Friday. Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Driebusch says it's one of the biggest IPOs in years.
This is an exciting growth story. Whether or not you believe they're very close to being profitable, there's that potential that a lot of investors we've been speaking with are buying into.
Lyft set a higher range for its IPO late Wednesday, estimating it would be between $70 and $72 a share. Lyft's biggest rival, Uber, is also planning an IPO this year. A federal judge has blocked Medicaid work requirements in Arkansas and Kentucky, ruling that they violate the program's purpose to deliver health coverage to low-income and disabled people. More than 18,000 Arkansas residents have fallen off the state's Medicaid rolls since it imposed work requirements in June. Kentucky's Medicaid work requirement was set to take effect next month. Still to come, more details on the rise of ex-urban areas. More home buyers, especially millennials, are searching for homes farther away from the city. More than a decade after the housing bust, they're once again turning to ex-urban areas, just beyond the suburbs, where building is picking up. Joining me now in our studio with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cusisto. Laura, you and I have talked about the housing market being somewhat of a weak spot, especially last year during a relatively strong economy. What factors in the housing market are leading to a resurgence of ex-urban areas?
Yeah, so in what has overall been a weak and weakening housing market, these exurbs have really been a bright spot. These are areas where you can still build a home for, say, in the range of $150,000. And that's affordable for a young couple, for a retiree, for someone with only one income. And so we're seeing really kind of strong demand there. And that's really been driven by the fact that home prices have risen much faster than incomes for the last decade. And people are just getting squeezed and looking for where they can go where they can still actually afford to buy.
Where in the U.S. are we seeing the most exurban growth? What can you tell us about what those areas share in common?
I would define them as areas in the South and the West, areas with ample land, and I would also say areas that are really the poster children for the last housing bust. So Phoenix, Las Vegas, the Inland Empire in California, Atlanta, all these places where it's possible to grow and grow and grow with seemingly no limit. And of course, that is a sort of risky thing.
What did you hear from home buyers, millennials in particular, who are choosing to live in these areas?
Yeah, that was a really kind of my favorite couple that I interviewed were these millennials who had been living in Portland, Oregon, the sort of hipster mecca of the United States. And they went to Phoenix on vacation to visit the woman's father-in-law. And they were like, it's January. There are pools. There are palm trees. We could buy a house. Like, what are we doing with our lives? And so they basically got married, went on a honeymoon, and immediately moved to this just far out exurb of Maricopa.
Wow.
That was just, I mean, a total change. And they're like having the time of their lives.
But retirees you found are also among the groups that are moving to exurb areas now too.
Yeah, that perhaps was something I wasn't thinking about as much when I was going there. I mean, it probably wasn't really as much of a factor 10 years ago when the exurbs were booming. But now we have this aging baby boomer population, and it's not as important for them to be living near a job. It doesn't really matter that this is an hour from downtown because they're not commuting in and out every day. And so especially you can sell your home in, say, California, make a huge profit, go buy a small starter home in one of these exurbs and live off that for a really long time.
Laura, what does this growth in exurban areas tell us about the housing cycle? We did see a lot of growth in exurban areas during the last housing boom. Of course, that bubble later burst. Are builders more optimistic this time around?
Well, builders are naturally optimistic. But the question, I guess, is whether they have reason for optimism now. And that is an interesting one. There's no question in my mind that when we see building in these places, these are the places of last resort. These are not the first places you choose to build. And so if we see builders going to these places, we know we're getting late in the housing cycle. We know they've already built better locations and are looking for new places, new frontiers. But there are some factors that are different. Last time, the building in these areas was really fueled by two things: investors and people getting these kind of no doc, you know, if you breathe, you can qualify kind of mortgages. And we're not really seeing either of those this time. It seems much more organic. It seems like people buying who are actually just buying a place to live, they are getting mortgages with very low down payments and with lower credit scores, but it's not as extreme as the last time around. So I think we'll definitely see these places fall off when the recession comes, but I don't think we're necessarily going to see a huge crash.
So it sounds like there's more reasons to be optimistic this time around. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cusisto joining me in our studio to talk about the rise of exurban areas. Thank you so much, Laura.
You're welcome.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.